Well, today we do have the great privilege of spending this morning participating in the Lord's Supper. As a child of God, forgiven and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am grateful for forgiveness, grace, mercy, and new life. Amen? And the Lord's Supper helps us celebrate that as well as anything I believe we do at church or even outside of church. Now today we do want to be mindful that we do have Life Action Ministries coming here and beginning next Sunday to begin a 10-day revival. Although that's a bold way to phrase it, we don't know what God's going to do. Reality is each of us can quench whatever he may decide to try to do in our hearts by not being spiritually prepared, by devoting our time and energy to other things. And so hopefully today you have been praying about this upcoming revival and you have been drawing that chalk circle we heard about a few weeks ago around you, and you've been asking God to begin revival with you in your heart. That's really all we can control. We can't control what happens to those around us. We can't control what happens in our community or our nation. But the reality is we can do business with a holy God as individuals and ask him to begin a work in our lives. And I think we would all agree we're not there yet, and we have a ways to go. And so this morning is a great chance, I believe, to kind of take a devoted amount of time to increase our efforts to be spiritually ready and prepared before that begins. I believe the mind of Christ can be summed up in very simple ways in terms of human relationships. I believe we're called to be humble and we're called to be holy. And in that way, we're prepared to yield to the Spirit of Christ. So as we begin this observance together, I do believe we always need to be mindful of the holy ceremony in which we are participating. If you had your bulletin this morning as you came in, the very first selection there, we're going to read most of these together, but this first one I simply want to read to you again as a reminder of the significance of this moment. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 through 31 reminds us, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged." Let us pray together. Father God, we do know that this is a tremendous privilege to participate in this ceremony, celebrating what your son did on the cross for us. But Father, we also know that this is a significant, somber moment, that this is your table, that you draw men, women, and children to it to celebrate what you've done. But you also guard it, you protect it. It is a holy ceremony, and it is something that we need to be spiritually prepared to partake in, Father. Pray that every individual in this room would allow your spirit to convict, to draw, to lead, and to guide as is necessary for each individual, and that we would do business with you, and that as we come forward for these elements in just a few moments, that we would be worthy vessels to partake of this holy ceremony. Father, we love you. We do indeed thank you for grace and mercy and your love and how it was fulfilled on the cross. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, we are going to stand just a little bit longer this morning. I know we've stood a while we worshiped. Please understand, though, if you have any physical limitations of any kind, you're welcome to remain seated. I don't want anyone to feel otherwise. But hopefully, you have spiritually prepared just a bit for today and for this moment and maybe the weeks ahead. But out of respect for God and the seriousness of this moment, I want to review the four key steps that we as a church have embraced really over the last 4 or 5 years as we move into the Lord's Supper each time together. First of all, we need to each remember the cross. Without the cross, this entire observance is absolutely meaningless. It's rote religion, but it doesn't free us from anything. It holds no spiritual power. The cross is its foundation. If we have not individually accepted what Christ has done on the cross, It's not just a symbol, but it's a personal possession. If we have not individually accepted what he's done on the cross to pay for our sins, we are still sinners. Condemned and unclean, we are not yet welcome at the Lord's table. More importantly, we're separated from a holy God. We need to have a personal relationship with him, and the only way that can occur is if our sins have been forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you would, stand with me, and we will read the second selection there, Hebrews chapter 4 together. And then after we finish this passage reading together, if you would just remain standing for the next few moments. The second selection there, Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Read it with me. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we must remember the cross. And again, friends, if you've never done business with Jesus Christ, there's no more important decision. And it's such a simple opportunity. He asks us to come to him as children. It's not something you have to be well-educated to participate in. It's not something complicated. It's something where you simply have to yield your heart to him as your Lord and Savior. So we remember the cross. Secondly, we prepare ourselves. On the cross, Jesus paid for our sins. And we know this as his children. We're forever forgiven and considered holy in the eyes of God if we're in that salvation relationship with him. But we all are also aware that we still struggle with sin. Sin disrupts the intimacy of our union with God and others. And before we partake of this supper, we need to take one last accounting of our sins and ask God to make us whole, meaning ask him to renew us and redeem us again, restore us to that place of purity that we need to be in. If you would, read 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 with me, the third selection there. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So not only do we remember the cross, but we also prepare ourselves by asking him to cleanse us yet again from our sins. Third, we restore right relationships. It's not enough to simply bring what we see as our sins before the Lord. He also wants us, meaning this entire church fellowship as a body, to live in unity with one another. He wants us to be intimate, to be kind to one another, to serve one another, and in so doing, we serve him, we bring him glory. He wants us to be at peace with one another. If you would, read with me the fourth selection there, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. So we remember the cross, we prepare ourselves spiritually, we restore right relationships if there's work to be done there. And last but not least, we need to renew our first love. Our last act before the supper is to remind ourselves of our incredible love relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus came to die for us. We know this. We celebrate this. He paid it all. May we never neglect his great love or cheat upon him with any rivals, such as materialism or worldliness or any other idols of any kind. If you would, read with me Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2 and verses 8 and 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. At this time, we want to give every individual in this room an opportunity to respond to any leading of the Lord that you've sensed as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. Again, maybe it's the fact that you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, to forgive you of your sins. You've never yielded your heart and your soul to Him. Maybe you need to do that this morning. This time is going to be for that. But it may also be that you're looking to work through these principles we've talked about. You need to prepare yourself in some way to asking Him to forgive you of some specific sin that you've dealt with. Maybe you need to go to someone else in this room and restore a right relationship. Maybe there's an apology that you need to make. Or maybe just in the quietness of this time, you need to renew your first love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it may be, now's the time to do that. If you would, sing with us as Robert leads. The altar is open, friends. Now today we do want to take a moment or two, as we've already begun to do, to allow God's Word to remind us of His power to identify, cleanse, and forgive sin, to restore and redeem relationships. I believe most importantly to allow Him and His Word to remind us that He can and does make all things new, including each of us in this room and all the things that we've struggled with. And I'm praying, certainly over the next few weeks, maybe to do some things that are beyond what even we would imagine or hope for in each of our hearts. And so again, if you have these little sheets with you, I would ask you to stand and we will read verses, the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th selections in succession together, if you would. We began there with number 6, Romans 12, 2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And then Psalm 126, 2 through 3. "Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad.'" The number 8, Isaiah 42, 8 and 9. "I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." And friends, before we read Isaiah 43, 16 through 19, just remind yourself that these verses can be true of each and every individual in this room. Personalize it as you read it, please. "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they're extinguished, quenched like a wheat. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, in the desert." Amen. You may be seated. Deacons, if you'd please take your positions. We're now about to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. This table of the Lord is open to all fellow Christians. Although none should participate in the elements without faith in Christ, we cordially invite all who sincerely know Him to come to His table. That has been our tradition for many, many years, and it's our understanding that it is His table. It's not our table. So come if you know Him. Come to the sacred table not because you must, but because you may. Come to testify not that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be His true disciples. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. not because you have any claim on heaven's rewards, but because in your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of heaven's mercy and help. Come, not to express any opinion, but to seek his presence and yield before his spirit. Deacons, if you would please present the elements. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're given a clear understanding of what it is we're about to do and why we do it. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Understand something, as always, the way we've been doing it with you coming down front, you'll be directed when to come. You'll be dismissed by sections. Please follow the deacons, kind of their direction as we go along. If you're physically limited, stay put and we will serve you. We do ask fathers that if you would, you're welcome to serve your family as they come by the elements. And again, as we've already said, as has been our position for a long time, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to come to the table. And please wait to partake until instructed to do so. You'll take the elements and return to your seats, and then we'll give you instructions on when to actually participate. At this time, deacons, if you would begin distributing the elements. If you'd join me in prayer, please. Father God, we thank you again for what we're celebrating. This is not a ritual. It's not a dried up dead religion. It is the celebration of an actual historical event in which your son came and walked among this earth, lived a perfect life, died an atoning death, defeated death, hell, and the grave, and was resurrected on the third day. And we do this in remembrance of that truth. Father, we thank you that he is indeed the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And we celebrate that he has made that way for us. Pray that we'll be so mindful of this as we complete this picture of your goodness and your grace in our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Let us eat of this bread in remembrance of Christ, and may the life which was in him be in us also. This time you may take the bread." And I apologize for not having you stand, but why don't we stand for the second portion of this if we can. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Let us drink of this cup in remembrance of Christ, and may the spirit in which he died be our spirit." You may take the cup. And friends, we rejoice that the stories are true and it is indeed finished. And we want to, as is our tradition, to sing a little Amazing Grace together. And as this song concludes, you are dismissed. Let us sing.